Hello and welcome everybody to another edition of the Lunchtime Chats. I'll pause right here and give everybody a chance to hop on board, to tune into this conversation. For those of you who are new, either here live or listening to the recording, my name is Christina and I'm an acceleration expert. That is a consciousness acceleration expert. And we are here to talk about those topics and issues that are significant for us starseeds, wayshowers, new paradigm visionaries. We have capacities, we have abilities that are not necessarily embraced by our larger human family. Therefore, we have very unique takes on the kinds of shenanigans we see going on in this miraculous, amazing, chaotic, sometimes disturbing reality. So I am here to give, to the best of my ability, a liberated perspective to these pieces that we find challenging and that perhaps hook us up. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. All right. So just to check in with dear sister Beverly, let me know that the sound is okay. Let me know that the sound is good. Yeah, I had a little bit of a late start, so... I have some, there's been some power issues in this sector of motherhood, and anyway, there are some things going on, so had a little delayed my start. Okay. Everything's good. Sound is good. Awesome. Hello, dear Starshine. Hello, dear sister. So good to see you. I'm glad that you're here. Hope you're doing well. All right, Beverly, welcome. So you guys go ahead. Let me know that you're here. You know, there's been so much going on in my world. I had some time of quiet and peace in my humble abode, and it really just hit me just how much I'm integrating and processing. Starting with, thank you, Sherry, for letting me know this sounds good. Starting with we had our life, death, and dream time in-person workshop in Colorado a couple weeks ago, which was off the hook, amazing. If you guys have not looked into the work of consciously dying and death rites and working with ancestors, if you haven't done that yet, I highly encourage you guys to do it. It is massively accelerating as far as the liberation process goes. I'm talking about liberating the kinds of things that inhibit life force energy, inhibit you from living truly in your true nature, living, letting you that life force energy that flows through you to be a clear expression of your truth. It's absolutely astounding. We covered so many things. When I was tuning in and getting guidance for that particular workshop, I'm going to go off on a tangent here. they're pretty much the ancestors, my ancestors, and the spiritual lineages from which I come from and have been deeply involved with for many lifetimes. They were pretty much clear. It's just, you know, make sure the stage is set for us to come in and take the wheel. You know, just let us take the wheel. We will show you everything that needs to happen. And they definitely did. So we called on our ancestors, all of our helpful ancestors, and those that are wounded or perhaps are fragmented. And they really showed us reality as it actually is. You know, we got to remove a lot of the blind spots, a lot of the narrowed vision that we have about who we are and what it is to be alive and what we think is and all this stuff, and quite literally the veils between the upper, middle, and lower worlds just dissolved. And we were able to liberate ancestors from the reincarnational processes of this reality and beyond. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Because now I've had a chance to digest, and that's how I got on this topic. I have been going since that workshop. So I, had a beautiful time connecting with the dear Starshines, the sisters, in this deep, deep way, authentic presence way. And so much was facilitated far beyond what anybody can plan, right? And And for some reason, I had to keep piling on, the movement and transformation, because right after that, I came home to my place on the Mayan Riviera. And then I was thinking I had a week to digest, but I didn't. I only had a couple days. I had to, you know, leave again and go to that live blood analysis training, which was also massively mind-blowing. I learned so much, and it was such an honor to be in the presence of somebody who's truly a master of the craft. You know, he's nearing, well, I don't want to say retirement, but it's kind of retirement. You know how, you know, we do things for many, many decades in our lives, and one thing leads to another. And by the time we reach our 60s, our 70s, our 80s, we've had many decades of experiences in deep arts, you know. So this gentleman in particular was is a chiropractor for many, many years, started with that, and then went into naturopathy, and then went into ozone therapy, and then went into live blood analysis. So we're working with somebody who had a wide girth of information and so much to share. And because I was taking live blood analysis, particularly so I can identify the different things from the La Cucaracha and the kinds of things that shed from people that do the Cucaracha dance, right? I'm so glad I studied with him, because, like I said, he had 30 years of studying live blood, but then all these additional decades of being a naturopath and curing incurable diseases, including his own diseases. He has... anyway, so I go from the ancestor work deep into the mystical, deep into the abstract, then dive into the deep dive into the sciences and alternative sciences. So it was quite extraordinary to leap from one abstract into the super linear, but oddly abstract as well. So now that I'm home from all that travel and deep dives into these realms, I've had time to sit with this, just a couple of days, but I've had time to sit with this and digest and really get clear on why my ancestors and why my spiritual guides, teachers are taking me, guiding me through this in this way. So one thing is, I really need to talk to you guys about what happens when we die, and the kinds of systems that were in place versus what's happening now. There's a massive liberation going on with that process. So I want to talk about that for a minute. And I also want to talk about opportunities that you guys might have if I'm coming to a place near you this summer, the spring and summer. I will be traveling through the states offering live blood analysis to see if you have these different structures within your system. And then, of course, I have been deeply researching in all different kinds of modalities of things that could be done to detox your system from the from these things. So if that resonates with you, I highly encourage you to contact Sherry in our back office at WeCare. It's WeCare@lightbodyacademy.com. And maybe Beverly, if you're listening, you have access to a keyboard, if you can put that email in the comments, just, or that email address in the comments, just to help people. If you email our back office gal Sherry, and then we can see what we can coordinate. I know that there are pretty much everybody in the academy that I was in person with had a very deep interest in that. And you know, intuitively, we can tell, you know, that there have been impacts. So thank you, Bev. So I will be in the Colorado area for a little while. I'll be in the Eastern Ohio, Pennsylvania area for a little while. And then I may head south for a little while. So if we can coordinate, you know, those areas, you know, I'm happy to come in and do an analysis stuff for a group of people as I make my travels through the states. All right, so there's that. But anyway, let me get back to, believe it or not, this all comes together. So I know it seems like these are opposite worlds that we're talking about, but this all this come together, because the whole purpose of the hijacking is to siphon life force energy, is to engage our awareness and our attention into these sub-realities, into fragmented realities. Okay, and this is so, so wonderful, because I feel like, because this is being shown to me in the way that it is, it's like a massive breakthrough has happened in the collective. It's like we are now at critical mass and ready to reclaim the reality for ourselves and what we truly want in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit, you know? So that means these kinds of hijackings that come in will have less and less opportunity to really take over the way they have been. So let me first talk about the infiltration a little bit. I don't want to trigger anybody, but you guys are listening. Chances are you know most, if not all, of what I'm about to summarize real quick, okay? So there was an inception in this reality millions of years ago, and this reality was originally slated to be a place for, I'm going to say, cosmic mother for beings to explore separation and coming back home to cosmic mother. Okay. So some people call this angelic races receded here. Some people equate this as a great experiment. You know, many, many people talk about this in different ways, but in a gist, what was intended was that this be a playground, so to speak, to cultivate the creme de la creme DNA. So pretty much divine beings in a bio suit suited for divine beings can come into this level of density and experience and have experiences. Okay. Now, this many billions of years ago, that intent was started. And of course, you guys know time is completely relative. What could be a billion years for one species could be a few seconds for another species. So, right? So what does time really mean in that scope? But in the reality of the 3D reality, 4D reality, where time exists and unfolds, you know, this just gives you an idea of, I'm saying time just to give you an idea of the level of history that there's a possibility of recalling. So a lot of the incepted reality started maybe 100,000, the stories of this started maybe 100,000, couple hundred thousand years ago, maybe 10,000 years ago, 15,000 years ago, really depends on the narrative. But depending on where you pick up the historical, the recall, that's going to frame you up to what I mean by inception, right? So there is the great cataclysm, what people maybe will call the fall of Atlantis or the great fall of consciousness, where some event happened, wiped out life or wiped out most of life. And then during the time of rebuilding, there is these beings called that were referred to as the Anunnaki. That is a broad term to reference many different lineages and species. They came to this planet, some with more benevolent intentions than others, and they incepted their teachings into our consciousness and also began to seed their DNA within our race. Okay, so this particular timeline is arguably somewhere between 45,000, 15,000 years ago, whatever. So when people look at this kind of story, they feel like, you know, this is where the inception began and this is where the slave race mentality started to get seeded. Okay. Yes, we did get seeded with the God poison. And that is not that connection with source as poison, it's just the story of how we're connected to source has been poisoned, as in it's a God that has to be worshiped and glorified in order to have favor, in order to proliferate and do well in life. Okay. That is the inception. It's not that there is a great benevolent source creator that from which all things emanate. That is absolutely true. But the way we were taught to be framed up to it, that is the part that is the inception. Okay. Now you can, so with that comes stories of a next level of seeding of humanity. And this is where you get the stories of the Nephilim and where you get the stories of the hijacking of the sacred priestesses and the Vestal Virgins and the destruction of the hierogamic union. That's the union between divine masculine, divine feminine self. This is, you know, all those stories, all those woundings, all that comes from that timeline. Okay. But there is something that goes back even older. And this is where I am in deep, deep, deep appreciation of being in connection with the Sasquatch, and also deep appreciation for our dear brother Starshine, Sunbow, because really the original channeling that he did of Kamu, which is an elder Sasquatch, was absolutely life-changing for me. And not that I, those of you who know me will laugh, it's not that I read that book cover to cover, because I didn't, but I was downloaded the information from that book from the Sasquatch. And the reason being was because his consciousness processed the frequency, processed the transmissions, and wrote it down. So he had it very well digested in such a way that it allowed my consciousness to bridge it even more deeply into the Sasquatch world. This is what working with Dreamtime can do for people. Just a little side note. This is why Dreamtime, on the level that we do it, is so unique. You know, different things are bridging consciousness to other things, and you can bring them in and digest them and start reinforming your subconscious and consciousness in different ways. All right, coming back to the story. So his work in that way introduced and built that bridge for me to connect more deeply in with Sasquatch consciousness. And what they did was introduce a whole nother level of history going back many millions and millions of years, billions of years. And they go all the way back to the first life on this planet and called planet realm. Realm is probably more accurate than planet. Those of you who understand would understand what I mean and why I would say that. The first beings being the fish people and the ant people. This is important because they experienced evolving consciousness in this realm. As they were like the way showers, they were like the ground breakers, and the ant people particularly have an amazing story to tell about their interactions with AI, their interactions with cyborg technology, their interactions with a highly advanced technical intelligence, okay? And their trials and tribulations that they had with that. And yes, they destroyed themselves many times over, okay? And it even reached the point where the Earth, the consciousness that we call the Pachamama herself, had to end life because it was going down a road that was not within the scope of her will. Okay. So I highly recommend people to meditate with this and connect with these beings, these sacred beings, as much as they can, so they can get in touch with this other deeper version of history. Because in that deeper version of history, what happens is that we realize that there were many races seated here long before the Anunnaki, the Nephilim, the whole Enki and Lil drama came to the consciousness of humanity. Yes, this has a lot to do with the afterlife. I have to set it all up, guys. I swear, I'm not just meandering. For the person that pinged me on that, I heard you. I get it. You know. Anyway. So the Enlil Enki drama, with that came the ripple effect, the interdimensional inception of the Orion War narrative, the Orion War drama. Okay, that came with the Enlil Enki sacred story, sacred drama. Okay, and that DNA got woven into the DNA pool of this reality. Okay, this was not the first time that species were incepted. It's happened many times over. The major currency of empire, so to speak, and elsewhere is DNA. The more, you know, having a DNA dance that can house divine consciousness, what we might refer to as divine consciousness, is the creme de la creme. And there's lots of DNA dances created to be less than that, so, you know, to serve certain roles. And Lil and Anki come from a culture, come from an existence where this is practice is common practice. DNA manipulation to manipulate consciousness in such a way to serve empire. Okay? This is a vast interdimensional empire that is more, more insipidous than we realize. Okay, so there's that part. It's so insipidous that it not is just about creating beings to serve other beings. It's not just about from birth to death, okay? It's about transferring of life force energy, okay? So worshiping and glorifying a non-corporeal being from this biosuit really juices up and gives massive power to that non-corporeal being. What does non-corporeal mean? It means without a body, without physical form in this reality. Okay. In order to have power in this reality, you have to have a biosuit. All right. That's not quite the right way to say it. In order to take action in this reality, you have to have a biosuit. This is why there are all these beings that create these cults and these sects to harness the consciousness of humans so they will take action on their behalf. Okay? And this kind of stuff doesn't end with being in a biosuit. It also goes into the interdimensional constructs that we might call the Akashic Records, right? Contracts, agreements, silent oaths, all this stuff is kept within the Akasha. So if you do something in this reality and make it an Akashic imprint, that is now something your soul is going to continue to explore and attempt to come full circle for however many lifetimes it takes to do that. Now, the number of lifetimes doesn't matter because we see things as past and future lives, but that's only a particular nesting doll that creates that experience. And I'm speaking with linear words, so that also is a little bit of a challenge. So I'm going to say past lives, but do know that this is a cyclical unfoldment of consciousness in nature. There is no past, there is no future, there's only now. But what is informing our here and now is the only way we can talk about it with this linear language is to refer to something as if it's outside the now, it's in the past. Akashic Records is an accumulation of many past lives, agreements, contracts, all this stuff that's unfolding in our here and now, that's shaping our here and now reality. And these beings know that and have created a series of vows, of covenants, of agreements that humans are enacting on a soul level until it comes full circle. Okay. Please let me know that you follow me so far. So that kind of interdimensional inception means that if you take a vow to be a part, to be a devout worshiper of, say, Yahweh, or say of Enki, or say of Krishna, or say of, you know what I mean? Pick any being, deified being, and you are in a sect that worship and glorifies that being, and there's vows involved, okay? Vows that you take in ceremony, sometimes even with blood and other things, then that makes an impression in the Akasha, and you are now reliving, fulfilling that vow over and over and over again until you wake up and let that energy come full circle and that it ends. Okay. So this was because that empire is commodifying life force energy, that's a very powerful thing to do for these non-corporeal beings. We give them great power with our worship and glorifying of them, and that is actually what they don't want to end. They don't want to end that. And everything in every level of this reality is set up to keep us as blinded as possible so we continue those acts, okay? Including our dying process, okay? So it's our birthing process. We know about the birthing process, how that gets hijacked. That's what the whole straw man game is all about. Lots of videos to look up about straw man, right? Harnessing life force energy. And then there's the actual living itself, working, getting a job, paying taxes, blah, 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 right? We experience all of these emotional things. Sometimes it's uplifting and amazing and orgasmic and ecstatic, and other times it's a lot less than that, right? Depressing, it's, you know, oppressive, all those sorts of spectrums of experiences, all of us giving life force energy away in those experiences because we don't know better. Okay. So they have our birth process, the hijacking of the feminine womb spaces, you know, by bringing certain beings, shutting down the stargate in the womb space so only certain spectrum of consciousness can come to this planet. So they have the conception system, they have the birthing system, they have the living system, and they have the dying system, all hijacked to give off life force energy to these other non-corporeal beings. Okay, yes, it's actually, I'm just painting the picture, because what we discovered, what we were shown in this Life, Death, and Dream Time workshop that we did was that now is the time, now is this massive opportunity to reclaim that dying process, to reclaim the afterlife so we do not get recycled into a reincarnational loop. Okay, many beings, many masters have come to this planet and tried to wake us up to realize that we can get out of this. And they gave us certain formulas of how to get out of it. But, you know, of course, you know, these things get incepted, teachings get watered down. You know what I mean? Because the last thing they want is us to truly reclaim our dying and afterlife process. Okay. Some of the greatest mystery schools of all time in this realm that who has historical significance and teachings that remain talk about how to navigate the afterlife for a reason. It's not just this mystical thing, this woo-wah thing. No, they are teaching that because it is imperative in order for a human to retain their memories in between lifetimes. They need to be able to properly navigate the afterlife. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. So let's take Buddhist teachings. Okay. Buddhist teachings talk about living your life where you have, so by time you reach the end of the dying process, you know, the leaving your biosuit process, you have zero karma. If you have zero karma, there's no energy in these different nesting doll realms to sway you one way or the other, and you can go directly home to your cosmic source and be free of incarnation, having to reincarnate. Okay, but of course that is a very difficult thing to do. So the next piece that they would do, this is referred to in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, also talked about in the Egyptian Book of the Dead, also talked about in very secret shamanic circles of indigenous elders. I won't mention their name because I want to be respectful, but there is teachings that say there are very specific things to look out for once you leave your body and navigate the afterlife, so you can be liberated from the causality that makes you incarnate instantly and therefore lose your memories in between lifetimes, okay? And that talks about the bardos, okay? It's a maze. Imagine a maze of scenes of all these different unresolved issues you have in your life, people you haven't forgiven, people who haven't forgiven you, highly charged situations in your life, and it's a maze of that. They say the secret is to observe the play, the drama being played out in front of you, but do not engage, as in do not have a strong thought, feeling, okay, emotion. Do not engage with your consciousness in these scenes. If you can watch them with total neutrality, you will successfully navigate the maze of the bardos and come out on the other side beyond the incarnational cycles of this planet. Okay. Then we have all these other levels of people talking about people who have near-death experiences. you know, I had my near-death experience, which was very different than other near-death experiences, but because mine was done in a different way, and I don't need to go into that, but many people talk about their near-death experiences of being, you know, they're meeting their beloveds, they're meeting somebody, they're getting downloaded with a very significant shift to their reality. And sometimes they come back remembering things, some other times they don't. But what is across the board, they talk about is beloveds showing up and they're going into a tunnel of light. And some reach a place where they're having a life review, and some, you know, just have this interaction with their beloved or an angel or a being of some sort that re-educates them, and then they come back into this realm. Now, and it is very benevolent in experience because it's a dimension, it's another dimension of reality that doesn't have the heaviness that this particular reality has. So it is very liberating. It is very uplifting and ecstatically loving in so many ways. Some people have been in that on the other side of the veil in such a way where they completely woke up out of their hindrances to their life force and came back into their bodies and have had spontaneous healings. You know, there's beings that have had that happen. So what the ancestors showed us via death rites, and we actually got to do death rites and some other non-humans, but what they showed us is that through consciously dying, through going through the unwinding process of death rites, by having proper space held for you while you're in that process, we are all being given an opportunity to skip right past the life review, right past the bardos, so to speak, and go directly back to our cosmic self. That means we are going around the board completely and emerging beyond the scope of reincarnation and karma. Okay, we are completely out of the inertia that causes the reincarnation mechanism to pull us back into a human form or another form into this reality. This is what they're showing us. And they're saying by reclaiming the dying process and the afterlife process, we are reclaiming our knowledge, our connection to source. So when we come back by choice, we get to come back with our memories of who we are intact, with our unbreakable connection with source intact in our consciousness. Now, the only next trick is having a sacred feminine womb space that can bring a being like that into this realm. And of course, there are amazing human beings, females, women, aware of sacred birth, aware of sacred conception, and they're doing that work. And the old school, the old ways would tell us that it takes 3 generations to purify one's being in order to conceive in this way. And of course, there are lineages that are doing this. I've had the honor of meeting some of these women, and it's true. They've been preparing for generations for this time right now. So I'm giving this information to you, this knowledge with, I'm sharing it with you so you can open your awareness to the fact that this awakening process is so far beyond the powers that we perceive to be's control. Okay. All we need to do is stay focused on the sacred, be focused on our connection with each other and these sacred transitions within the human experience. Okay, we just need to stay focused on that, and we can keep reclaiming. And of course, reclaiming your dream time is a massive, massive piece. But you know, all in due time, you know, all as it works out for you. Now, okay, so there's a couple comments coming in, so I want to pause here before I get into how this ties into the live blood analysis and the shenanigans going on. All right. makes complete sense. I had a too muchness soul contract through the lenses of hijacked Christian consciousness dissolving before me yesterday with a profound confirmation that my too muchness heals. Aha. Thank you for that, sister. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Then she goes on to say, my too muchness has plagued our family since before time was time. All right, so that's a lineage thing she's recognizing. So, wow, that's a huge, 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 recognizing thing because, and I think this is a theme that actually has been unfolding within the collective, especially between the male-female dynamics, the too muchness, right? Whoo. Hmm. Okay. Okay. I'm just pulling my energy back because there's a huge rabbit hole in there, and I want to stay on point with this, with what we're talking about. All right, dear Felicia says, hi there. Can the City of Light initiate us into unbreakable connection? It's a great question. You know, There are cities of lights that have been getting interacted with for many generations, many lineages, many different interdimensional bridges have been built to access these cities of light. What my guys are saying, they're saying no. And I'm like, why, what's up with that? You know, going into that. And it really has to do with our humanness. It really has to do with how we interact in between lifetimes, how we die, how we come into this world and live our life. So they're talking about the humaning is a major factor in the interactions in between lifetimes, because as we come through these different veils, you know, come through these different nesting dolls, we lose parts of ourselves in order just to be conceived into a womb space. That's because of the different hijackings that have happened within the womb. So what they're saying is that we came in that way. And as we do the work in the human experience and activate our DNA dance more and more and more and more, then, you know, that will reach critical mass. But one cannot do it, though. This is why it's a no. One cannot do it by themselves. They have to have a community holding the collective fields, appropriate collective fields in place for that consciousness to exist. Okay. So that means, guys, this is why this is not just an individual game. If we can all go up to a mountain and be isolated and do our work and activate ourselves and be realized, we would do that and it would work. But this is why it's not right now how this is. It's not going to work. It has to be a field that's held on a collective level. And these fields are held more than just by human consciousness. They're also held by elemental beings. We could, like, Sasquatch consciousness, different Fey realm consciousness, you know, so there's dragon consciousness, you know, all these beings come together to hold a collective field for I guess, for lack of a better term, for a divine act to happen. And I'm being reminded of the story of how Siddhartha became self-realized. It's a beautiful story. It's actually a mandala. It's a sacred painting somewhere. I'm trying to remember what book that painting was in. All right, it's in different traditions. I think the one that I saw came from the Bone Tibetan sect. And the story is that the moment Siddhartha, if you guys don't know, Siddhartha is the most prolifically known being to become a Buddha. There have been many, many Buddhas that have been self-realized, but Siddhartha is the main story that most people associate with Buddhism, the Buddha, him becoming Buddha and then Buddhism. Okay, so do know. And also understand, maybe this puts perspective how it also got hijacked because people worship and glorify, right? Siddhartha. Anyway, side note. So as the story goes, the moment that Siddhartha became self-realized, all of the sacred kingdoms of existence assembled to hold witness to his self-realization. And it was the Pachamama, it was the stars, the sun, the planets, it was the divine beings of the interdimensional realms, it was all of the natural world, the tree beings, the critters, the devas, the magical, I can't remember what they call it, but I will call it essence right now of all life, came to witness his self-realization. Okay. Now there's lots of things encoded in that mandala, in that story, but the significance of a collective field is the part that I want to connect you guys to now in reference to this. Okay. All right. Thank you, Dale. All right. So sacred witnessing newborns in my work. I'm called a Baka. Oh, is that like Kaba? Interesting how it's reversed. Yeah, Kaba. That's the joining of the light body and the physical body. Interesting. That's Baka. Anyway, I go on a tangent. All right, then there's the energy of innocence is integral with the preciousness of imagination, bringing us relationship with consciousness. Yeah, so there are there's lots of facets here to dive into as far as living in a way that is aligned with your authenticity and that brings. That allows DNA dances to get more deeply activated and therefore consciousness embodied. This is all true. Wow. Okay. Sorry, I have to pull away from those gears because now I have to get back to, there's something in there. So let me pull my energy back there. Okay. The most important factor for us to consider right now in this moment is a connection and cultivating connections that nurture our spirit, that nurture authenticity and the truth of who we are. Okay. And now I'm going to weave in the consciousness connection to the shenanigans going on with the jibbity jab dance, the shedding dynamic, and the different elements that have been impacting human health since the La Cucaracha dance was introduced to the collective. Oh, okay, and this actually ties into the eclipse stuff too. So what we focus on becomes bigger. What we pay attention to becomes bigger. So for those of you who maybe have experimented with Reiki or are into tracking energy, maybe you're very masterful in these levels, just notice whatever you actually are looking at, focusing on, it's like it's an energy that you can get into this groove and you practically get magnetized to it. And actually, this is what tracking is like. When you're tracking through the forest, there's some profound trackers. One of them, I can't remember his first name, but his last name's Brown. He can track wolves from helicopters. He's such, so tuned in to the art of tracking. And what it is that you are completely focused on something, completely focused. Tunnel vision focused on something, and you are following the traces of that through the jungle, through the forest, like this. And tracking is a very necessary skill for a hunter, because a lot of times when you shoot an animal with a gun or a crossbow or whatever, if you're lucky, you'll get the heart and they'll just drop right there. But a lot of times they don't. A lot of times they run. And you have to be able to track that animal through the forest to catch up with them, right? And you can't track when you're all over the place, when you're looking at the birds and you're paying attention to the insects and you're paying attention to this and that, whatever. It's like data, it's like information overload, and you're in, and it's not so easy to track. The best trackers that I've ever seen work, it's like they become like meditatively focused on the slightest little trace of a four-legged animal, whatever, traveling through the woods. It's like they can imagine the travel, they can hear it, they can smell it. They're using all of their senses to follow the path that this animal would have taken through the woods. And that means you're sensitive to the slightest little trace of fur on a piece of bark, the slightest broken branch, the indent in the ground. I mean, there's all these factors, and you're just dialed in, focused, tunnel vision, following the clues of the energy trail of that animal. And, you know, most of the time they will find, if not all the time, they will find that animal. But it takes focus. And when you are focused in like this, people from the outside will watch a tracker do this, and they're like, oh, it looks like a mystical ability. It's like, you know, being able to put your hand on a track and be able to feel, sense, taste, know more information from that animal. People look at that like a supernatural ability, but it's not. We're in these hyperdimensional biosuits, and there's lots of data coming to us all the time. And a tracker, because their focus is so zoomed in, the data sets, everything that is associated with following that animal through the forest become blown up, become big, okay? It takes focus, it takes discipline to maintain focus, but besides that, all of your senses are going to draw you like a magnet to exactly what it is you're focused on, what you're looking for, okay? It all comes in, so it's like a hyperdimensional journey through the forest tracking an animal. Okay, same thing with energy, same things with thought forms, same thing with programs. Okay, it acts the same way. So when you are, say there is a narrative introduced to the collective, and you have millions of people focusing on that narrative, their act of focus quite literally blows up the energy of that narrative. And if it's perpetuated, it will get anchored into the collective field. Now, right? Now they are living it in their reality because it's in the collective field. Okay, you're living it now. You see what I mean? So I've mentioned this many, many times in other chats, but I'll just quickly touch base on this because people need to understand how powerful the collective field is, how powerful consent agreement is, okay? And the story I have is, you know, in the beginning of my shamanic training in the early 2000s with different masters, I was, you know, things were coming to me in my dream time, and I was being guided to work with these, with different beings. And one of them was a gentleman named Alberto, and a dear friend of mine was able to join in that training. Part of that training was to have what's called fire ceremonies. And it's a process of course, opening sacred space and learning how to sing to the fire, learning how to connect with the elements, learning how to connect with the ancestors, all this stuff, right? Connect, 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 deeper, 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 focus, focus, focus. And we would focus our love, our gratitude, all these things in with the fire. Focus, 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 focus. And we would have prayers. And we would do this twice a month, every new and full moon, for nearly 10 years, if not longer. We did other things too, but this particular practice was something that was given to us as homework to maintain in between times that we got together with the teachers and with our IU, with our collective, with our spiritual community, learning from these different masters. And this is the process of what was later referred to as taming the flames, okay? And there was lots of different thoughts about what tames the flames. Some people thought that we elevate our frequency to be in harmony with that of the fire. It's us communicating with the fire devas, which we absolutely did. I mean, you sing into the fire and connect to the devas. They will actually dance with you. They will take shape and talk to you. I mean, it's awesome. Fire devas are, actually all devas are amazing, but fire devas are especially cool to work with because it's something you can see with your eyes. You know what I mean? It becomes very clear. Your subtle senses don't need to be as sharpened to work as they need to be with other, to work with other devas. Anyway, so we would work this ceremony to the point where we had a consensus, an agreement that the fire was friendly. And what that meant was that the fire will not burn. We can put our hands in the fire, it will not burn us. We can put energies in the fire, and then now there's a divination kind of communication. If the fire burned our intentions thoroughly and fully, it was all aligned and, you know, the energy and the request, so to speak, was complete. If it didn't burn it, it didn't burn it because the energy wasn't ready to burn. Something wasn't right. There was something off, all this stuff. And we quite literally put things wrapped in tissue paper that would not burn. Okay. Tissue paper. Imagine putting tissue paper in a bonfire and watching it not burn. Okay. Why did that happen? Because the collective field was in agreement, because sometimes there was two of us, sometimes there was 20 of us, 30 of us, 40 of us, right? Larger groups. The collective field was in agreement that this, that we're, the properties of this fire are in a different way. Okay. The properties of fire was more of an interaction. It will not burn that which that cannot be burned, like the energy could not be burned, right? So that is how powerful a collective consensus is. It'll quite literally change the nature of things. In this case, it was changing the nature of fire. You know, most people think whatever you put into the fire, it's going to burn, right? And in most cases, it does. But we were there as a, in, you know, training as shamanic beings, learning how to interact with the elements, stuff like this, different relationship completely to the elements, right? So consensus is huge. Whatever we focus on gets bigger. Whatever we collectively agree upon becomes so. All right? I know, and I'm running out of time, and I know this ties into live blood analysis, and this is why. And I mentioned this artificial inception in the last chats, okay? The proper alignments to fully hijack our reality are not in place. So they need to do it synthetically. Okay, they need to do it artificially. So that is part of what the La Cucaracha dance and the later jibbity jab jigs that people were doing and dancing to was all about, was creating an artificial means to incept our reality. Okay? And that is why people are finding these constructs, these crystals, these different things inside their blood. Okay? Because the power of consensus. So many people agreed to different tiers of the narrative. We've now manifested a bridge to a sub-reality that quite literally got put into our bodies. Okay. Now you can say out loud, I do not consent. You could deeply in your heart space say, I do not consent. But unless your actions and the way you live and the way you use your energy, the way you choose to focus, unless all of that is in an alignment, you are consenting on some level. Okay. So this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I'm coming into places. I'm waking people up. I'm giving them action steps to take to pull themselves out of that reality, to pull themselves to truly not consent to the power over dynamic game, to the attempt to incept the trajectory of the unfoldment of your life force, right? I mean, and you know, it's not the entire realm. It's not the entire planetary realm that's hijacked. It's most of it, but not all of it. Okay. Because there are people who are awake to this. There are elders, there are masters that are awake to this, and they are holding strong the collective field through dream time for us to find our way home out of this mess. Okay. And it's scary because we don't understand how we made this mess. It's scary because we don't understand the true reality that we're walking. We're living programs that are completely false, but we buy into them and we believe in them, and that's what makes them true. And if, you know, those of us who are in the Dreamtime Healing Project, I mean, we have these dream clinics that are just absolutely, I am astounded almost every time. Almost every time I'm just beside myself, like, wow, I just witnessed a miracle, right? Those that are in the Dreamtime Healing Project are waking up more and more and more to realize how malleable our reality is, how malleable our consciousness is, how malleable energy is, okay? It is so malleable. A single thought creates infinite numbers of potentials, okay? All it needs is something to co-create with it, and then the potential is more likely to become so, okay? So, you know, I'm doing to the best of my ability to really, to change humans and wake them up to the truth of who they really are, myself included. Like, what is our true capacity here? What is the true nature of this reality? And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So this is another step of that, showing people how to eradicate this from their body, from their biosuit. Get back on track on living the life they truly want. Get back on track on really reclaiming their capacity to focus. Okay. Reclaim your capacity to focus. There are lots of facets to this hijacking, guys. It's through EMF. It's through the, you know, the shedding thing. It's through, there's lots of facets to this. So I feel like now that I'm integrating all this work, I feel like I'm being shown the bigger picture in the different facets in which needs to be addressed in order to truly eradicate and make someone immune to this. Okay. Immune. Yeah, I'm getting a yes, it's possible. We're going to do this. Total immunity is what I'm going for. All right. So darlings, if I'm going to renew the invitation, our dear sister Starshine Beverly posted our email, wecare@lightbodyacademy.com. Please email us if you are interested in either hosting. That means you're going to collect 10 people or more that are interested in doing this live blood analysis and me introducing the protocols to eradicate these things from your system. Please email us and we'll see if we can create a schedule for as I travel around and go to different places. So far, what is on the schedule is a stop in Colorado, and then in Eastern Ohio, Pennsylvania area, and then further south, I think, further south of the Mason-Dixon line. That exact location hasn't been hammered out yet. But that's the rough sketch of what's going on this summer. Email us, and we will see if we can make a stop at a place near you, or you can actually become a host, which means you gather 10 people or more. And then we'll discuss the further details that entails. Okay. So thank you everybody for letting me have your undivided attention, or mostly undivided attention, for this whole time. It's truly an honor to have your focus and your awareness. Thank you. And we will catch you guys next time. Bye bye.